Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network, joining us, Kent TC, farm management analyst with MinStar Bank. Your Focus on Ag column here this week had some information about planting intentions and some reports and whatnot here. So what are some of the things that you're focused on and thinking about here as we maybe start to see a little bit of the snow melt?
Well, every year USDA on the end of March 31st or closest date comes out with their planting intentions report, and it's based on producer surveys in early March on what type of acreage they intend to plant. Now, I think it's always important to remember the title of the report is planting intentions, so we all know that that can change, and sometimes it does, but it does give an indication, at least where we're headed as far as acreage. And it becomes, the same day, the quarterly grain stocks report comes out too. So it becomes a very kind of pivotal day on USDA reporting. And of course, typically the corn and soybean markets, the seasonality from April until early July is usually when we see more volatile markets, and we tend to see some of the highest prices for the year during those months. So the next actual planting numbers don't come out until the end of June. So this report tends to have a pretty big play on the markets, at least for the coming weeks here in the spring. And what USDA came out with is basically that U.S. farmers plan to plant 92 million acres of corn this year, which would be an increase of 3.5 million acres or 4% from a year ago. And it is still below where we were 2 years ago when they projected 93.2 million acres. And the most that was ever projected in recent times was 97.3 million acres back in 2012. And, of course, that ended up being the drought year that cut into production. On the soybean side, they projected 87.5 million acres for this year. Very similar to last year. It's just down 55,000 acres from a year ago. And if you go back to the actual acres a year ago, I should mention that a year ago at this time they projected 91 million acres, and we only ended up with 87.4 at the end of the year. And, of course, some of that was due to some planting challenges in part of the country, prevent plant acres, and some acres because of drought later in the year that didn't get harvested. So that does show that acreage can change. And if you go back, the record was back in 2017 at 90.2 million acres. So that gives a little perspective where this year's acreage falls. The corn acreage came in a little higher than the grain trade expected. The soybean acreage came in fairly close to where the grain trade was looking at.
And looking ahead here this spring, there's a lot of snow left on the ground. Do you expect those numbers to kind of be impacted by that, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I think it's too early to tell. You know, when you drill down into the numbers, it's kind of interesting because that big increase in corn acreage, which was about 3.5 million acres, about 40% of that acreage increase was in the states of North and South Dakota and Minnesota. And, of course, when you look at where we still got a lot of snow cover in major corn-growing states, it's those three states. And so it will be, in fact, North Dakota, I think, was projected to have an increase of 850,000 acres of corn and or 800,000 acres of corn and 850,000 acres of soybeans. So that will be interesting how that plays out. You know, North and South Dakota, if you go back 10 or 20 years, were not major factors when we talk corn acreage and soybean acreage or corn and soybean production. But in, you know, recent years, they've become a very major player there. And the same with Minnesota. You know, some of the biggest increases in Minnesota acreage in corn and soybeans has come in basically west central and northwest Minnesota, and those are the areas right now that are the most impacted by this late winter weather that we've had. Now you get in you know, the very southern part of Minnesota, the southern quarter of Minnesota, and the state of Iowa into Illinois, and fairly free of snow covers. So it's hard to say there. A lot will depend here on what we get. It sounds like we got a good warm-up of temperatures coming, but how much additional spring moisture we get. But there's certainly going to be some planting delays, I think, when you look at the northern half of Minnesota and north and south Dakota.
And looking at grain stocks, how does that kind of play into this whole equation?
Well, actually, the grain stocks, you know, if you looked at the real importance of the two, even though the planting intentions gets a lot of coverage, the grain stocks is probably the key one, because that really indicates what our supply is, and depending on demand, what could happen here with prices. And the stocks are still fairly tight for both corn and soybeans. You look at corn stocks on March 1st, was listed nationwide at 7.4 billion bushels, which was the lowest in the last 9 years, and was actually 5% lower than a year ago. And, of course, we had strong prices a year ago. Now, if you drill a little deeper into the numbers on corn stocks, probably one of the concerns, at least through as of the 1st of March in the kind of second quarter of the USDA fiscal year from December to February, is that we were down quite a bit as far as our export numbers. We were down about 400 million bushels. Now, some of that might have got made up here in the month of March. We've had several large sales to China in the month of March, but certainly that number would be the biggest concern number that came out of there. Soybean stocks remain very tight. They were at just under 1.69 billion, which was down 12% from a year ago. And again, the usage for soybeans was actually up about 11%, so from a year ago. So I think what we see, basis levels remain very tight or even positive in some areas for corn and soybeans on old crop, and that certainly looks like it will offer some good marketing opportunities yet in the coming weeks and maybe months for anyone that's got old crop corn and soybeans still out there. On the flip side, the new crop prices have been a little softer. We've seen new crop prices today are, at least here in southern Minnesota, for corn are down about, let's see, what are we at today here? We're down at 5.23. We're down about $1.50 a bushel from where we were a year ago. And soybeans, similarly, we're down $1.50 or more for new crop compared to a year ago at this time. So not quite as much strength, and the basis has widened out a little, I think, across the entire region for the new crop, but certainly the old crop is strong. I think on new crop, the big factor is going to be here, in addition to what we talked about earlier, the spring planting progress, and then weather conditions in the growing season. Obviously, we ended last year with some drought concern in a lot of areas. Some of that's been alleviated with the spring moisture, snowfall, and rain further south, but there's still some concerns out there in some areas, and it's a long growing season, and a lot can change as we go forward. And I think a lot of the focus going forward here will be on future world supply and demand reports each month, on both on the usage part of corn and soybeans, as well as what's happening with stocks and projected production. We didn't talk much about wheat, but again, wheat is, I'd say, fairly stable. The wheat numbers a little down on spring wheat acres in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana, and about the same in South Dakota. The stocks are fairly neutral. Again, the wheat market's still very reactive to the Russian war in Ukraine and what happens there from week to week.
And, you know, it maybe isn't directly related here to your column, but we've had a lot of conversations throughout the winter here at different meetings and whatnot about soy crush capacity and that sort of thing expanding, and the demand for those types of biofuels, ethanol, that sort of thing. Do you see that playing a big role here in the future? Maybe not right at the moment, but in the next few years?
Well, I think it is. You know, obviously with the renewable diesel push and at this point at least soybeans being the main feedstock for that production, it certainly does offer a lot of optimism and opportunity, I think, for soybeans and for some long-term strength and stability in the soybean market. So, you know, I guess there's a lot of, you know, some plants already in production, some on the drawing board. You know, it's a lot of things have to come together there. Obviously, the continued demand for their the renewable diesel, and that has to dovetail with government policy to support that. But certainly, right now, there's a lot of positives as we look forward into that market. And, you know, I think somewhat the same, at least maybe not quite that overall positivity that we see in the soybean diesel. But even with ethanol, you know, more and more we're seeing more states that are pushing toward year-round 15% ethanol in their fuel blends, and even nationwide on that effort. And also, I think there's a lot of efforts going into sustainable aviation fluid, which involves ethanol. And the other positive, I think, on the ethanol side is export demand. A lot of times we haven't exported high amounts of ethanol because we've been able to utilize most of it in the U.S. But if the greener type energy movement pushes us more to the EV electrical type cars and ethanol demand subsides in the U.S., there's still some pretty good worldwide demand for that. So I think the renewable fuels is certainly still a positive, I think, as we take a long-term look at corn and soybean markets going forward.
All right. Anything else we should mention here before we let you go?
I don't think so. I think we covered it. Let's just hope we keep the sun out and keep the temperature increasing and get rid of the snow where there's still snow and get some good field conditions.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us here today. Kent Tesey joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.